Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I'm always really happy to see you. Thank you for coming to visit the show once again. Today, I have a guest that's actually a friend of the show, I like to call him. He's been on the show before, and he's back. His name is Kenny Banda. He is the founder and president of the Banda Bola Sports Foundation in Malawi, Africa. We're going to talk today to Kenny about how the coronavirus is affecting the stakeholders in the sports foundation, the stakeholders being the children that Kenny and the foundation administer to. And it seems that because of the coronavirus emergency, the pandemic, it's had a tremendous impact and a negative impact on things that were being built over there. So Kenny, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be here under the circumstances, the challenging circumstances, but it's time to get out of my lockdown here.
Yes, it is quite challenging, and it's one of those things that, you know, it's easy to feel very removed from it. But there are lots of things happening in this world right now, and I think many people have a tendency, myself included, to sort of focus on the universe that's sort of evolved by default from this pandemic. But tell the audience, Kenny, a little bit about what you were doing in the foundation for the children, the boys and girls, just before the pandemic became a global emergency.
So what happened is that last year when I was home, we had already started building a soccer complex. And the main objective of that complex was to allow the girls who don't normally don't play the game. So we're trying to find a place for them to come and be trained so they can play the game in a safe environment. So we had started doing a campaign to fundraise to help build the soccer field and also mainly to build the locker rooms or changing rooms for the girls who normally don't have the facilities for them to feel comfortable and, as I said, to feel empowered, to feel good about themselves when they have to change from the bushes or behind the mango trees and stuff like that. So we said maybe we should build a place where they can come and feel comfortable. So we began a campaign where people were donating $1 for a brick. So we called it a dollar brick campaign. So every dollar we put towards making a brick. So we had to stop because the coronavirus came in, and we put some brakes on it because it wasn't fair for us to be talking about fundraising when people were going through what we had to go through. And on top of that, the schools had to be closing down. Also, all the girls and the boys that we're trying to help in the village, they now, for 3 months, for almost 4 months now, school has not been available to them. So the whole idea of my foundation is to encourage kids to go to school by using sports to attract them so that they can have a good time in the learning and listening at schools. But the 34 schools were shut down. Therefore, the girls especially were home helping their siblings, their parents, drawing water, firewood, and taking care of people. So school was no longer part of that, agenda that we're trying to encourage girls to finish primary school or middle school. So it's been very, very difficult for the girls and the boys in the village. So this is one of the things that we have to deal with.
You know, we talked in the last show about how the plight of girls in your country is very different than what we have in the Western Hemisphere here in the Western world, even though the plight of girls everywhere is noteworthy and not always the best, but you had made some tremendous progress. The reason why I find it the virus so tragic in your situation and for these girls is because you had made such progress in helping these girls develop into something that in which they could have a life that I think that would be considered very meaningful as opposed to the traditional path for most girls in that country. Talk to me a little bit about that. And I don't know if we can come up with solutions right here, but what's happening to these girls and boys?
Yeah, well, normally my vision for this project was to figure out where, how to empower the girls, how to impact their lives. Because most of them, these girls would be 12, 11, 12, 13 years old. And normally they'll be married off, not finishing school, or some of them not even attending school. So we're trying to find a way, how can we, you know, give them a place or chance at least to attend school, maybe finish, you know, eighth grade, maybe not eighth grade, at least go towards the seventh grade. So most of them were being married off at a very young age. We've got some girls in fifth grade who are being married off or having babies or getting pregnant. So during this time of this epidemic, what has happened is that those girls were, you know, between fifth and eighth grade, they were home now amongst men who normally would be in school, but now they are home 24/7 amongst men who are looking to, you know, to abuse the girls or getting them married. And as soon as they get to be, you know, menstrual period, that's a chance for them. They can't hide no more because everyone will know who they are. So we are trying to figure out how to maintain the girls away from the home, bring them to school, at least spend a few hours where we're mentoring them in reading and what skills for them to go back in the community and become, you know, I guess success to make sure that they can at least finish eighth grade and not worry about being married off or having babies and stuff like that. So that's where we're doing our project, is to allow the girls to take part in the project called Chituka Village Project. So we have 34 schools, and these schools average about, let's say, about between 800 or 1,000 students, and some classes have about 100 kids, and most of those kids are boys, and not most girls don't attend school. So we have to find a way to encourage them and go back in their villages and recruit those girls. So I'm having a soccer league that will attract the girls to join where they don't play. So boys are laughing at the girls. So that's why I want to build a soccer field where I can bring the girls, where no one can laugh at them, and just encourage them to be who they want to be. And hopefully one day they can become teachers, they can become, you know, responsible to themselves and take care. And some of the things we're talking about, literacy is a huge, huge problem in Malawi, especially in the village. So we're teaching them skills like health literacy and agriculture literacy. And we hope that these are the things that they're going to use in their lifetime. Environmental literacy, something that they can bring home to their families. And we hope one day we can go back there. So we're just praying right now that most of them will drop out of school. I know that. I've been told already that some of the girls we're helping, they're going to revert back their old habits and just staying home and taking care of the siblings and helping out at the house. So we have to go back to the first graders, second graders, and make sure that we don't lose them because of coronavirus.
It seems just so terribly sad to me that wasn't for the fact that they had the soccer league to go to and to be inspired through, you know, the educational opportunities that you're developing. There really seems to be nothing exciting happening there for girls. It seems that their lives are so mundane, so much so that they become vulnerable to abuse. That's the thing that I find just absolutely, like, horrible.
Yeah, most of the girls, they will tell you that the most thing they fear about, you know, being around in whether there's a village or the city, the most thing they fear about is being raped. And so when you have that kind of time on your hand, and these, you know, men or whatever, they're around them, there's very good chance that they'll be abused one way or the other. So we're trying to build an environment where at least they can run away or get away. being chased by somebody else on the soccer field is better than being chased in the bushes of the village. You know? So that they can develop an understanding of who they are, what they want to become, and they start asking questions about themselves and they're willing and able to say, hey, I can be somebody above and beyond just drawing water or making firewood or cooking for my siblings. But at least have some other skills, know how to read, know how to write, and know how to speak. So we're trying to teach them how to speak English because they need that in order for them to graduate and to go to the next level you got to know how to speak English. That's how they learn, and learn the curriculum is all in English, but they don't know how to do it. So we provide that, that after school program where we're teaching them the skills to read and write in English.
Is there mentorship opportunity for them?
Well, that's what we do. We have a volunteer. So we have a local school where we invite local leaders and people who might have a skills of at least they finished in high school, and the local high school students, they come back to mentor the young ones, and we tutor the young ones in after school program. So with academic components to this, not just playing soccer, but you're playing soccer because you have to attend school. If you don't attend school, you cannot play on the game. If you're not doing well, so we just want to attend school at least 3 times a week, they can be on a team. If they can be in school where they're 5 times a week, they can be on first team. And so if you do more than that, do good in classroom, we'll give you extra gear for you to have as uniforms and stuff like that. So there's incentive of you coming to school, and then of you being into our afternoon program. If you passed in the top in your class, we'll bring you back in the afternoon to make sure that you do really well and maybe improve your standing, the academic GPA. So we bring him back in the afternoon. We mentor them. And we also have a feeding program where we select maybe 15, 20 kids in this class. They come in the afternoon and stay. But because there's no lunch period in Africa, in Malawi, there's no lunch period. So we hire the local parents to cook for the kids who want to come back and stay in school longer for mentoring, for tutoring. So basically, I'm asking my friends here to donate like $1 for each kid for a meal for a day. That we're feeding these people to about 400 kids that we feed to make sure that they can be mentored and be tutored.
You know, the problem, though, is that there is no school for them to go to now, is there? Have they done anything to sanitize institutional facilities like schools in Malawi through this virus?
No, they have no clue. This is not going to... Right now, Malawi is winter, so it's getting cold. So from what I'm hearing is that now the virus is more noticeable, and we have no testing facilities. We have testing facilities, but we have no testing kits. So there's nothing really to help our people right now. I just listened to the Malawi president today on the BBC, and they were talking about they don't have any PPP, they don't have facilities, and they don't have a testing equipment. So they don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be disastrous.
It is a disaster already. I'm a little bit ignorant on this. Maybe you can help me with this one. Is Malawi part of any of the world organizations? I don't know if they even exist anymore in the climate that we're in right now politically on a global level. But are they a part of like NATO or any organization that has a global reach?
United Nations is our main donor that they help with the health issues and food security. Right now, the Malawians, they're more concerned about malaria, HIV, than coronavirus, because coronavirus to them is like, we already have other diseases here that we have to worry about. They're dying more from malaria than they are from corona. So it's not even something that they rather have food. They worry about dying of hunger than coronavirus. So it's like, so we have United Nations, we have World Bank, we have the other countries from, whatever, UK, United Nations. Well, unfortunately, US is cutting down all the aid to the third world country. So that's been AID and AID, which is one of the aid that come from American system. But we have other organizations on the ground, but the infrastructure doesn't allow them to do any work with schools. There's no running water. And there's no electricity. So if you wash your hands, there's nothing. There's no water. What are they going to wash their hands at? And there's no soap at school. So it's like those things don't work. Because already they're washing their hands only when they have to go eat food. But the water is scarce. And then the soap is, it costs money. No one's going to buy soap. They're going to buy something else. So it's hard. And when school was closed, since there's no electricity, and you can't say, they're going to read at home or do a computer and study on their own. There was no studying. There was nothing going on. Zero. They just sat there and that's it.
Well, it's a waste people away. you know, intellectual waste, physical. This is a definite emergency. So are you doing a crowdfunding or a GoFundMe campaign for this?
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead. We had, like I said, before Corona, we were trying to do those kind of things. So we had to stop. So now we're going to start again since things have kind of opened up here. So we're redoing our website, which is we're going to put our people can donate on our website, you know, BandaBoraSportsFoundation.org. They can go there and donate. And if not, they can give us a call at 518-364-3842. But we are doing GoFundMe, we're doing Facebook, we're doing other things that we hope we'll be able to get enough funding to continue with our projects. And hopefully the children will be given opportunity to go back to school and start learning, and then being, especially the girls, being empowered and opportunity for them.
So BandaBolaSportsFoundation.org, that's where people can go and make a donation online to help these children in Malawi. It's daunting. It's, you know, it's funny when you see a different perspective of this virus and how it affects people. We're arguing in this country about when to open what school, when, how, whatever. But in Malawi, it's almost like there are no choices. The way I see it is that the children are forced to succumb to it. And that, to me, seems unacceptable.
No, you know, in today's world, it's 2020, and we still don't have the infrastructure. You know, when, like I said, some classes, the average class size is about 85 to 90 kids in one class. So you're not going to learn from there. So that's why we're bringing our project where we can take the kids, come back after school, at least give them some skills that know how to read, know how to write. Maybe they can get away from that classroom environment and have a small size environment where we can teach them, and they can ask questions, and they can solve their own problems. So yeah, it's going to be rough. I think we've gone backwards because we haven't been there for 4 months. So our program, we're going to have to, some of the things will start all over. Some of the things we're going to have to go and maybe scratch and begin a different program. But right now, I'm going to start a new, I'm going to call it, I'm going to start for the girls only. I'm just announcing this now for the first time, a Girls Soccer Academy for Leadership. So this will just going to be just girls. We're going to select the girls who have the ability and understanding or motivated for school or to be leaders in their community. So we're going to bring them to our complex and start, you know, giving them clinics by using the soccer clinics to teach them skills, life skills. We're going to be talking about leadership skills, how they can empower themselves, how they can become leaders in the community. And we hope that we can teach them about literacy, health literacy, how you're going to become healthier, strong, eating right, and understanding your body, understanding your mind. Also, we're talking about the environment, you know, we're talking about literacy, for the, you know, environmental literacy, so that they can know how to use the environment they have and the things they need to have. And then we'll go on to do like things that they want. So we're going to ask them questions. What do you want to learn? We have computers, laptops that might be used later on for them to have, maybe to at least look at things about how to build things, how to make things, how to sew. Right now, we're trying to make menstrual pads. They can sew their own menstrual pads they can use so they can stay in school.
I think it's interesting to me that you think about, you demonstrate a level of empathy for these children, for these girls as well, by your actions. And I really appreciate that you do that. But what I want to say to the audience about this is that in terms of going to BandaBolaSportsFoundation.org, I think it's would be not money wasted, because before the pandemic, you had already started to build and do things, that things were actually starting to revive. You were making progress. The girls' intention to educate themselves, to me, is a demonstration of what's really happening in the collective consciousness there. People want to do better. I'll say it, I think that often when it comes to Africa or people that are darker, often people that are darker are sort of like, sort of an aside. you know. But you know something, the reality of the of this is that everybody here is bleeding the same color blood. But these children, these boys and girls, they really do deserve a chance to show what they can do to make an impact on the world. Young minds are just ripe for knowledge and ripe to be galvanized to go out and do something.
Yes, yes, you're right. Because with this movement going on right now, the Black Lives Matter has given the world a chance to look at social justice and social justice for gender inequality, children's rights, girls' rights. And we're talking, so those are the things that now we're going to empower with the children, make sure that children's rights are being realized and girls' rights are being realized. And so that the social justice that we're seeing here on TV, we're also trying to wake up the people, change their mindset about the importance of going to school and the importance of allowing girls to have opportunity to do what they want to do and making choices who they want to be. So we're bringing the same movement now to the village where we're going to be talking about the inequalities of looking at the gender so that we have equality, like I call it equal but separate. That's what I'm trying to get this Girls Leadership Academy, where they're going to be separate, but in terms of equality, means that they're going to be doing the same thing the boys are doing, but on a separate agenda. So that's what we're trying to do.
I want to say that what I feel, you know, this is why I so admire you, is that you're actually demonstrating how important it is to educate, because I see education, especially on any age, of any age, I'm into lifelong learning, as being like the fuel. It fuels the intellectual infrastructure of our planet. You can't just take a group of people and decide it's not as important to educate them. I'm not saying everybody's got to be like an Ivy League, you know, scholar, although I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that, but there's so much to be done on this planet. And it breaks my heart that these girls were so motivated to become something and to do something. And even if you're from Africa, if you're from the United States, if you're from China, wherever, education to me has always been the fuel of our intellectual infrastructure. And the fact that children around the world are not going to school right now as much as they usually do, it's like it's weakening our intellectual infrastructure. But nobody's really articulating it this way.
No, that's it. Education is the way out of poverty. Education is where you find out who you are, where you want to be, where you're coming from. So you're trying to do research. So these kids, we need to give them an idea that they can become whatever they want to become by looking at themselves and asking questions.
I'll say that, you know, through this pandemic, being like a regular person on the planet, I don't live in a third world country. We're blessed with decent surroundings, and we've been inconvenienced. I think that it's really important to find what your cause is and engage in it, whatever that might be. So what would you like to tell the audience when they go to bandabolasports.org?
Well, right now, I think the main thing is we're really trying to figure out what is the best way to move forward after 4 or 5 months of no school. And I'm hoping they will open school soon. So we just need to make sure we have the financial backing to continue with our projects. And before the epidemic, we had about 34 schools that we were trying to sponsor and help out. And so right now we have potentially, we need to build an infrastructure that girls can feel comfortable. So we're going to start a new thing for the girls called Girls Soccer Academy for Leadership. So people can donate towards that online, and hopefully that we can have enough funding to build these leadership academies all over the country. But we're going to do this in one village for now, for about 10 schools. And then after that, we're going to select the best candidates available that are willing and able to bring them to a place where we can train them and in skills that they can use and go back to their local schools or local villages and empower themselves. So we're just asking people to go to BandaBolaSportsFoundation.org and donate. And if not, they can call me at 518-364-3842. Also there, they can find an address. They can write me or send me an email to BandaBolaSportsFoundation. So everything's on the website. All the emails are there too.
I think that what you're doing is like really outstanding. I really want to ask you, at this point, given this, there's so much uncertainty, there's so much uncertainty right now on this planet, it seems to me that you're just going with the flow and sticking to your program. Are there any changes that you've made in getting donations and working with the foundation since the pandemic? We know there's a lot of sanitary things that have to be done. I mean, can people donate items like hand sanitizer, or can you just become bombarded with stuff? Is money is probably better, I imagine.
Right. Right now, money is what we need, because we have a container already packed up, ready to be shipped. So people can also, locally, we collect used soccer equipment, used soccer balls. We collect school supplies. So we bring all that. We have a container being donated in Poughkeepsie, New York. Mm-hmm. And we're still looking to find a warehouse around here that we can, that's another big issue we don't have. We need a warehouse where we can bring our stuff into it. So hopefully when somebody can donate a warehouse, it would be great.
Yeah, right. That would be great, wouldn't it?
That would be great. But we're still looking for donations, definitely. We're looking for school supplies, sports equipment, especially soccer for the girls. We need them to have, you know, we're looking for things that the girls can wear, feel comfortable with, especially undergarment. We have one group of people who are helping us with sports bras, helping us with their underwear garment that girls can wear, because most girls, they can't afford to have underwears and stuff like that. So we're also looking for to get as many shorts for the girls to wear, because girls, they don't wear shorts. When they a boy can show up on the soccer field already wearing shorts and they're playing, and playing jeans and shorts, where girls show up on the soccer field and they're just showing up on the dresses and skirts. So we want to make sure that we can give them a short, they can take it home, and then they can come back into, you know, on the soccer field at home. They can go and play with their friends. So shorts are in demand. You know, well, it doesn't matter. Street shorts, sports shorts, anything that girls can use so they can feel empowered. And then, so yeah, we're always looking to collect stuff. So our website has a list of things that we're collecting. But now we just need school supplies for grades 1 through 8. That's where our main donations are for, is for middle school, kindergarten, and preschool. Those kind of things are helpful for us, and up to 8th grade.
Well, I think it's really wonderful. I have to say, it's interesting how you're so practical in the things, and I feel that you've been able to empathize with these girls, you know, and you're a grown man and you're able to empathize with these girls and the things that they would need. And by providing these items, when you think about, you know, things that they need during their menstrual periods and being able to change alone, which you're really providing them with, you're providing them with a level of self-esteem by doing that, and self-respect, you know, by respecting them that way.
That's exactly what we're looking for, to give the girls in the village in Malawi self-respect, self-esteem. So we have to give them things that they can look good in, they can look empowered. If I just bring the girls to a training session and really show them that they can do the same thing the boys are doing, they're going to go home happy and say, hey, no one's going to laugh at me anymore. I can do the things that they're doing. I can do the things that men are doing. So that is what we're looking for, at least to make them feel comfortable for being uncomfortable. And the thing about me is that my first coaching job in America as a soccer coach, I coached women's soccer, and I'm the founding member of the NCAA Women's Soccer Championship Committee. So I remember with Title IX, that is how I got my job at the University of Massachusetts. Through Title IX, they were allowing women and girls to play sports in this country. So I have used the same philosophy to bring to Malawi, and to say, okay, I want to bring the girls also along, because they need to do the things that other people are doing in the village. Why not just having the boys playing soccer, not the girls? So from there, we're going to find other things that girls need to do at a younger age. They can do. They can play soccer as co-ed, grade 1, 2, 3, and 4. They can just mingle and have fun and have respect for each other. Not worrying about I'm a boy, I'm a girl. So those are the things we're trying to come across, that we need to be separate but equal in many ways. We need to give gender inequalities out of their mindset, so that they can grow and become equal versus separate.
And it's funny, the sexism that goes on outside of the United States. I think that I really, really pray that these girls get some sort of mentorship. Well, what do they say? They used to say in the school system, they used to say everybody needs a rabbi. It means everybody needs a mentor. And I think for girls, it's so important. It's always been important, and it's still important. But for these girls, I think that mentorship is something that I really pray that they can find in the situation right now that's like seems so dire. There's no motivation. I mean, what would be their motivation? They can't even go to school and create anything.
Yeah, even at school, they say there's more men teaching than there's women. So they don't understand that we need to have more men. We didn't have more women teaching and being mentoring to this girl. There's no role model for them. So it's very difficult to appreciate what they can become because they don't see it. Okay. So we're trying to bring, I've got friends of mine who have come from America who have volunteered to come to Malawi and help us into that situation where they do mentoring programs, they do clinics, they read to the kids, to the children. So we take them around, you know, about 10 schools, sometimes 20 schools. And just be able to play with the kids, play with the kids and talk to them and show them how to have fun as a kid, how to be a kid. So right now we're trying to make sure that we can bring enough volunteers to the Chituga village and from here in America. And hopefully one day we can build a system where we can go around in Malawi and do several clinics for each school and hopefully show the girls from here how they can help the women there and to become, you know, empowered, so to speak.
Yes. And the other thing that's very, I think, important to understand, I say this to the audience, is that these children, okay, in Western world, you know, there's always an opportunity to teach. I mean, we're doing it right now. We're on the internet and we're having a discussion about a problem that's happening on the other side of the world. We have this and people will hear it because they have devices. These children don't have devices. It's not like they can just open up a tablet or a laptop. They have nothing. But at the same time, what they do have, though, and we want to keep them inspired this way, is the incentive to learn something. It would be terrible to have this rug just pulled out completely from under them, and then they wouldn't be able to, you know, sort of amp it up again to do what they initially intended.
Right, right, right. No, I think what basically education, I'm using both education and sports to empower. There's a Mandela one time said sports have a chance to empower people to change the world, to bring people together, and where there'll be nobody to do that. So we're trying to use sports education as a way of bringing a community together. And the girls especially, they run the community. Women run the community. So we need them to be up to speed as much as possible. So we got to go to the grassroots, and where we're talking to the first graders, second graders, and fourth, you know, so they know that they can do these things for themselves. And hopefully when they become, you know, grown-ups, they can solve their problems. Because right now, I cannot take this program to the grown-ups because they're laughing at me. They say, why are you doing stuff for kids? Okay. So I'm saying, no, I guess I'm going to have to do my best is educate the young ones, educate so that the young ones can go home and educate their parents and educate their community. So we're going to use that as a way of improving the lifestyle of the people that we're working with.
It's good you're giving everybody a voice. You're giving people a voice. I think that in this country, I don't take it for granted, because I definitely don't take it for granted. I'm trying to give your cause a voice on our show, Kenny, and I really appreciate you sharing, you know, the details of this. We're going to have to get together and talk and follow up just to see how things are going. I feel, you know, really compelled to push you forward and to definitely support you in these efforts. And I'm going to ask the audience to, there are a lot of causes, and, you know, I get a lot of people on this show that have a cause. I like to find out what it's like. I interview them, but you're one of the few people that I interviewed and that you'd made some strides. And then this happened. But you're still talking about the program because in your mind, I can tell, it still exists. And there are people out there that have the wherewithal to really help the situation.
No, I think the kids in the village, even my teachers in the village, I call them up and we text each other on WhatsApp, and they were wondering, hey, are you coming back? Is our program still going to go? Are you going to come back? I said, yes, I'm coming back. He said, I'll be back there. I said, when things are clear. So yeah, they're waiting and they're crying right now. So they're saying, well, we need the program because the program was helping us.
Is there like a central place at all? I know that they don't have laptops. They don't have tablets. They don't have cell phones. But is there a place where people can gather to watch a screen, to have some learning delivered to them as a group?
Yeah, we're going to have some places now where we are, they are coming in with electricity. So we're hoping that my sister just told me that the government has agreed to bring transformers to some of the local areas. So we're hoping that by the time I go by, I will have access to that. So those are the things I want to do, is bring a projector, laptops, so that we can show children how they can be who they want to be, how a classroom looks like with 25 people versus a classroom with over 100 people, and then how a teacher has the equipment and facilities, how to teach and different things. And so we're going to put stuff in laptops. We are Khan Academy information and how to read. We're going to have things like science, reading material, all the things that they can know how to build, like roofing, carpentry, bricklayers, and stuff like that. We want to have all that on the computer so they can see it. And then hopefully they can have a roofing program if you're doing flooring. And you're going to have agriculture, how to grow different plants. Because right now they're just eating one thing, you know. So we want to make sure we can teach them how to farm different things, like different fruits, different vegetables. So all those things we want to put together. So yeah, there's a place right now that we hope that when I get there, we're going to have a place where we're going to bring the leadership to show them how these things can be done.
It'd be good if they could get some brain food. Well, you know, I'm thinking out loud. Not always a good thing. It's not always good. That's not always good. But yeah, I am thinking out loud.
Yeah, we got a lot of thinking to do. But of course, this time with Corona, it makes me think about things I need to do. That's why I'm saying it made me think about what can we do for the girls right now, because they're going to be behind. They're going to be lost. So we're going to do something. You know, this academy for the girls is going to help them, at least to bring them up to speed and make them feel like they're part of this, part of the solution, you know, so that they can figure out that they're important to us and they're important to themselves. So we're going to do that with this academy. And I think that's going to push us forward, and then hopefully it will grow where more children will benefit.
Who knows? Maybe Oprah's listening. That would be so good. Wouldn't it be good?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'll send her this. Well, Kenny, thank you so much. God bless you. You are just an outstanding man, I have to say. And what you're doing, it's like people don't realize you don't really have to do this. You're doing this. This is coming straight from the heart.
It is my people. It is my people. It's where I grew up. So I need to go back home and give back.
Yes, indeed. And you're definitely paying it forward, I guess, the blessings that you've had in your life. We'll have to do a follow-up interview with you for sure. This is going to just be one of those things I'm going to be sort of following, because I think it's important that children are supported. I think it's important that girls are supported. There's been so much oppression. You and I have talked about this in private, you know, the oppression. But I'll say that these children from Malawi really want to give back and contribute to society. They're trying to build a decent and a worthy life for themselves. Their lives are worthy, but they're trying to build a life. And this virus has just shut it all down for a lot of people in many different ways. They say we go through it together, but everybody's experience is very unique. Right. I could imagine what it's like being one of those little girls right now.
Right.
And they're just little girls. Thank you again for coming to the show. I'm just going to close out by saying BandebolaSportsFoundation.org. That's where you can go and help the situation. I mean, even if you gave a couple of bucks, I have a feeling that money goes very far over there, whatever you give. BandebolaSportsFoundation.org. And thank you again, Kenny, for coming on the show. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And thank you for everything that you do. And I thank the audience for coming to listen to Energy Stoners Cafe. There's always an intriguing conversation here. I welcome you to come anytime. I welcome you to email me with your comments about things. And I always love the feedback. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.